Welcome back to another awesome episode of Goonies World. I am Johnny Farrow, also known as Sean. And with me, as always, is Meanie, also known as Ryan.
Hello, everybody.
And we have the eponymous Goonie, also known as Colin.
That is me. Hello.
And once again, we have the lovely Lunicorn, also known as Lynn.
Hi, I'm already in character.
And wonderful.
Yes, and tonight we're continuing in a game of Ryan's design called Spirit with our with me, Ben Kingsley. Take it, Ryan.
All right. Well, I believe when we left off last, you had just just met up with your badass bush bitch, the pilot.
That's me.
Yeah, the pilot River. At the little airport on the south side of Fairbanks. And, I don't know if you are particularly well outfitted to go diving deep into the wilderness on your hunt for cryptids, or a particular cryptid anyway. So I'm not sure if you want to just hop in a plane and take off and go somewhere now, or if you would like to outfit yourselves or what precisely you would like to do. But it's all
I don't know
you.
About these here city boys, but this badass bush bitch is always ready to go into the bush.
I'm ready. I've got everything I need. I'm always ready for Bigfoot expeditions.
And he's wearing, you know, he's got his gear on already. He had it on, like, even before we got to Alaska. His, like, expedition gear. And he's got his beer mace and everything he needs, I think.
Yeah, well, Ben Kingsley's wearing a kimono over a wife beater shirt with some gold chains and jeans and flip-flops. And the thing is, though, lucky for me, that time we went to the Kmart before we left, remember? No, it wasn't the Kmart. What was it? It was the Sprawl Mart in Jupiter Springs. That's right. And we went there, and you told me to... and he gets his Ziploc bag out, and I'll... Just because I'm not going to force everyone to go on a shopping trip with Ben Kingsley. You know, that could take an hour and 45 minutes. So, I assume, like, Bart was like, you need to have these special shoes, and, you know, all that stuff, so... Put on some, like, hiking boots, and, I feel like I want to go slaughter some Viet Cong babies when I put all this stuff on. Wow. I'm starting to get it. A little hard on those guys, maybe. I don't know. Okay. You know. So, yeah, he'll go ahead and outfit himself, and he'll stuff his kimono and all his stuff. And he'll still wear the gold chains, though, and the sunglasses.
All right. very well. Well, So I messaged you, Lynn. I don't know if you
No. Did you text
If only
me
our listeners could have seen the shock on her face. if only they could have seen the shock.
No, I sent you a direct message on the ye old Star Chamber, which is where we don't know.
And now I see that there is a message for me.
There is, well, as you, once Lynn has read this, there's basically you have one lead, or she has one lead, but that's kind of it, really. There are ways to get other leads, but it sounds like you're already ready to go. So perhaps you should just pursue the one thing that Lynn knows about, because she is an aviator and has seen it from the air.
All right, yeah, I got a suggestion. I know about this place called Mound. It's only about 15-ish miles north-northeast around here. Remote village.
Yeah.
We could head up there. It's up next to a river. Not a named river. Just a little river. It's not very well known, but I've over phoned it a couple of times, making food deliveries and whatnot.
What is the importance of this site? Is there something, if there's been sightings there of something strange?
Well, I can just tell you, basically, so, and this is a fairly good distance away, actually. It's, so she has been flying occasionally, you know, making deliveries of supplies to sort of remote Arctic villages and stuff. And there is one in particular called Anaktuvuk Pass, which is like a little 300 person remote village around the Arctic Circle, right? And having overflown, and there is an airport there, but having overflown it, and some about 15 miles north of there, just within the last couple months, this odd shape has appeared in a valley that she has seen as she's flown over it a few times. It's a sort of like, it looks sort of like a mound or an artificial hill has been constructed or something.
That might be like the site of Cahokia that I've been to in Illinois.
Wait, you mean Jimmy Cahokia? You know Jimmy Cahokia?
No, it's... no. This is a mound that was built maybe by the Mississippi mound builder culture.
Are they in with Leslie West and those guys from Mountain?
I don't understand what you're saying.
I can't believe these guys are even friends.
I know, they're so completely different.
I know. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right, so we can fly up there to that there airport up there, but then we're gonna have to hoof it from there. And some pretty serious hiking. You boys better be ready for some walking.
Huh. Are you saying we're going to have a lot of vigorous, repetitive action that I'll need a lot of energy for?
Yes, sir, I am.
I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back in a few minutes.
He's going to be doing some vigorous, repetitive action in the bathroom.
Sounds like
it. I heard that.
I'm not even going to say what he does in the bathroom. He just comes out all like, woo, let's go. I'm ready.
Some kind of
I'm assuming
or something.
Yeah,
I think he snorted a line of coke is what I think.
Yeah, but I kind of like the idea of uppers. It sounds more like esoteric and weird, you know, like got these like red pills from some German chick. I don't know.
I should be good for about the next 37 hours.
Yeah, so you'll be flying up there and apparently walking some 15 miles or so to this site. All right, so yeah, well, you head out of the little terminal there towards the hangar where you keep your plane stored. And you see the hangar door is already open, which is a little bit odd. And you see your plane, it's a little, this won't mean anything to most of you probably, but it's a little four-seater Cessna 172 with, you know, the water landing skis on it so that you can and it's sitting there just as it, you would expect it to be, although the door shouldn't have been open, the overhead hangar door. And there's a man who looks possibly like he could be a native, with a towel, and he's like wiping down the side of the plane.
My plane?
Yes.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, just, hello.
What you doing there with my plane?
Just making sure that it is ready for flight.
He's a Boeing employee.
Boeing employee. No. I have failed to secure all the bolts in the door. Yeah. It will go flying off when you go.
Topical reference.
But no. Yeah. But no, he just says that he's making sure that it is ready for flight.
Well, I ain't never seen you around here no anywhere, and so what's up with that? You new or something?
In a manner of speaking, I suppose you could say that. It was brought to my attention that you and your friends were going on a search. And I thought I should give you some information.
Is he wearing plaid?
He is not.
Okay.
He's wearing kind of like khaki-colored coveralls. Kind of grease spattered. He looks like a, you know, mechanic or maintenance guy of some kind.
Who was this brought to your attention by?
Some friends of mine.
You're being awful ambiguous.
Well, yes. I don't want to say too much. I just want to make sure that your vehicle is properly... What's the word I'm looking for? properly configured for flight. And I understand that you will be seeking a creature. Is this correct?
Who do you work for?
I'm unemployed. Or self-employed, you could say.
But you wish to remain anonymous, that's what you're saying. Deep cover, deep throat, that's what you are. You're our deep throat. Now, speaking of deep throat, that reminds me of the time I went on a float trip with Dennis Wilt. Never mind.
That reminds me of the Loch Ness Monster, because he has a deep throat, probably.
Yeah, I guess he would.
No, I'm referring to, like, you know, in the Watergate thing, there was a guy deep
throat. Oh, yeah, I know.
The X-Files. I know you know. In case the listener doesn't know. I'm not making deep throat jokes just for the hell of it.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because the younger people might not.
Yes, well, in our lakes, we do have our own version of the creature from Loch Ness. But this is not what you are seeking. I believe you are seeking the creature known as Nantinak.
That is one of many titles he has given?
Or wait, do you mean she? Bobby Nantinak? You know Bobby Nantinak?
No.
Last thing I know, he went up somewhere near Hooper's Bay in Alaska. I haven't seen him since.
He refers to Bigfoot or Sasquatch, I believe.
Okay. I'm going to write that. No, I'm not going to write that down.
The indigenous people of Alaska have many creatures, including Bigfoot, that they have stories about.
Well, you're right, though, Deep Throw. We're looking for Bigfoot.
Well, the Nantinak is... You should be aware that the Nantinak is not a peaceful or docile creature. And if you seek him and find him, you may be risking your safety.
So what's that got to do with what you did to my plane?
You put guns on it?
Missiles? I did not put guns on it.
Agent Orange canisters! Bet you anything.
I just want to make sure that you arrive safely.
Yeah, he's tracking us, probably.
Yeah, I put a tracker on. Yeah, that's what I'd do. Sure, sure. All right, well, listen, everybody needs a deep throat, though. The guy can help us out. We're going to see you again.
This tracker thing, see, now, he knows where the airport is. Tracking my plane ain't going to do him no good as far as no safety measures, because my plane is going to be at the airport, and we're going to be in the bush on foot. So I ain't buying this. I'm going to start, like, checking the plane and making sure that, you know, everything, I don't see anything like weird or that.
Okay, well, yeah, and you would have, you know, you would have done a walk around anyway and checked and, you know, checked all the stuff and make sure that everything looks in order. And as you do that, you note everything seems to be in perfect working order, just the way you left it. While she is doing that, what are Bing and Bart doing?
Well, I'm just telling Bart that when he said going into the bush on foot reminds me of the blind date I had once with Suzanne Plachet. It's right before she started doing the show with Bob, and you trim it a little. That's all I'm saying. You know, I do a little manscaping myself. What about you? You want to borrow my razors? He's getting what whips out of his pocket this, like, you know, like unfolding leather envelope with all kinds of like 15 different kinds of stray razors, and,
like a chef's knife roll, like, right, you know, right. With all, like, these fucking razors. Yeah.
Yo, I almost as hairy as Bigfoot. Maybe that's why I was able to communicate so well with the Bigfoot that we met, because I resembled a Bigfoot and I spoke the language. And wouldn't it be funny if that Bigfoot was my girlfriend?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking at the time, but you know,
can you imagine?
Well, that Bigfoot we met was kind of it wasn't as dangerous as this mysterious deep throat fella says this other one is, so maybe this other one has that thing we've been looking for all these years. You know, Bigfoot's penis.
Maybe. But I think I could communicate with it. It won't be hostile.
Well, I hope that you haven't been messing around with its girlfriend.
Uh-oh. Yeah, maybe it's jealous of me.
He's gonna smell her on your clothes. He always knows.
Yo,
shout out to Scott Chapin.
And that's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
Oh,
well,
man.
Not meaning no offense, Bart, and I don't want to get you all upset, but if this thing turns hostile, I will not hesitate to use my 357 on that. Can I cuss on the show?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I've been doing it for so long.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yes, damn it,
those
George. Swear.
Poo-poo words.
I don't know why you would have invited me to join you guys if we couldn't. Because it slips out. I don't even know it slips out half the time it does. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, I'm just slipping out. It just slips out. I guess I got to put it back. Anyway.
Probably when you just use the tip.
Anyway, so River has done a inspection of the plane, and everything seems to be perfectly fine, and you guys kind of had your little chit chat, and then you kind of look back up, and your mechanic friend has mysteriously disappeared.
Well, I still think he was, even though he wasn't literally wearing plaid, I think he was a man in plaid. Yep.
There's nothing wrong with a man in plaid. It's like I told Joe Namath. Joe, you know, plaids. And look at him. His career's taken off. As far as danger...
I'll tell you what, I...
What's that?
You go ahead now.
No, I was just to say, he says this Bigfoot's dangerous. You know, we don't have to be afraid. We've dealt with Bigfoot before. And I'm not afraid of danger either, because I've been bowling with Jim Brown and the Hells Angels in Texarkana. So I'm not afraid of anything. I already told you that whole bowling story, because, you know, on account of you working the bowling alley.
Yeah, I actually liked that story because of the bowling.
Well, she hasn't heard it yet, so...
And he, 45 minutes later, you know, unless you just shut him the fuck up or just get on the plane, he's going to still be telling the bowling story.
I'm imagining that she's, like, loading up, you know, the cargo area and getting on the plane and doing the going through checklists. As he's just blah, 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 the story. You know, and...
Exactly.
Eventually, you taxi out to the runway and put it to full power, and, of course, it's a... perfectly nice runway, where you're not having to do like any crazy short field type stuff, so you just push in the power and take off, and soon you are soaring above the Alaskan wilderness. On your way to Anaktuvuk, which is going to be a few hours.
Hope I don't barf. The kids that came into the bowling alley, they called me Barf Garfinkel.
There's some
cruel words.
There's some paper bags back there. You feel the need to barf, Bart. It's all right. You can barf.
No one's going to barf, all right?
I'll try
not
to.
Just grab a sack. Look, they're right there. I point out where the brown paper bags are.
I know at least one of our listeners has a terrible vomit phobia, like a literal like freak out if anyone vomits. So, any further vomit jokes?
Well, we shouldn't make gagging and vomiting noises.
Well, they should definitely not listen to the Goblin Quest.
Yeah.
No, they did. They did. So let's have some more vomiting.
For the next,
that's all right. Vomit as much
seconds
as you want. Let me get the bag for you. No, it'd be funny if there's a scene where I'm holding the bag for him. Don't worry, I've been through this 1,000 times with Cass Elliot. There you go. There you go. Let it out. There you go. In fact, speaking of Cass Elliot, you know, I saw a photo of that Owen Vanessa Elliot the other day, and I started thinking. It's at a party in 67. I think I might be her father, too. When he's come to think of it. So, there you go.
How many kids you got running around on this earth?
I don't know, between me and Graham Nash, I think about half of Southern California.
So, you guys all are wearing headphones with the little headsets,
yeah,
with the microphone. Because that's, you kind of have to, it's really loud, the engine's loud and everything. You're flying about, I don't know, 10,000-12,000 feet probably. You're cruising, as they would say. And about halfway to Anaktuvuk, you see a column of smoke down below you. Like I said, about halfway to your destination. And I mean, granted, you're, you know, 10,000-12,000 feet above it, so you can't really see much beside the fact that there's a big ass column of smoke. And I leave it to you whether to descend and attempt to investigate or just ignore it.
Might be up to the bush pilot on that one. I don't know if she does that type of thing. Like, I mean, it's not like we are put out the fire from the air. We'd have to go. We don't even know what it is, so we'd have to get lower.
Yeah, it's good lower.
Right,
find some water to land on or something.
I might have some suspicion about what it might be. I could be totally completely wrong, but
could be Cheech Marin. He could be camping.
If it could be Cheech, no, I think it might be very possible somebody operating a still. I know in the village proper, alcohol is completely illegal, so someone, you know, living out away from the village might be into producing a little moonshine. That was just the first thought that popped into my head, but I could be totally wrong. And I think if that's what River thinks it is, then she'd probably just keep flying on to the airport.
She's no narc.
Well, I will say that, I mean, that is, excuse me, that is a logical assumption based on the, you know, the fact that it's all dry and everything. But it's, I mean, it would be,
that's the wrong,
it's like
wrong kind of smoke for a still, right?
Several hundred miles to, I mean, and probably, you know, 300 miles to go. So it's pretty far out.
So it's a long way to go to be making moonshine. It's like I told Andy Griffith and Don Knotts on the Andy Griffith Show reunion, you know, too much moonshine's never a bad thing, but it's pretty far out.
There is a, in fact, there are several large lakes in the area which would potentially be suitable for landing within a couple miles hike. If you were, again, if you were interested, there's no obligation or anything, but just if you are sufficiently compelled.
No, we should check it out. It's like a giant sandbox out here, right? We came here looking for adventure. We came here looking for strange things, looking for anomalies. I say that's one. Unless we get up there and it's Cheech Marin. Because I don't want to talk to that motherfucker because he owes me $40.
Oh, I'd love to meet some Cheech or some Chong, either one. I heard them great guys. I know we'd have to, you know, if I took a little couple tokes, I'd probably have to take a nap before I got back in the cockpit.
Yeah, well,
but,
I mean, Cheech is okay. You know, Chong, you know, he's got that Canadian attitude towards America. He's kind of condescending, you know. And I'm no Eisenhower, but hey, it's my flag too, you know. Anyway, long story though, I'm more of a patriot than people realize.
Well, if y'all boys want to make a stop, we can make a stop. There's some nice lakes over there.
Well, we,
then a couple miles wouldn't be too much of a hike.
We can investigate it. It could be a good... A good story for the article you're writing, even if it's not Bigfoot.
Yeah, it was just the opening scene, right? Okay, start paragraph one. I was high. I hadn't been that high since I went on a float trip with Wolfer Brimley in Wisconsin in 71. But, well, we'll get high up in the air, right? High, you see where I'm going with that? No, let's check it out. It's a mysterious fire.
Oh, I should ask. I should have asked earlier and did not think to. Who's riding in the right seat in the front? I'm assuming
Shotgun.
River's got the left seat. Okay.
No, because I guess he's in the back by himself. Well, I could have reached around and held the bag for him. Okay.
Yeah, but Bing's probably the kind of guy who screams shotgun.
Yeah.
All right. It's not likely to be relevant, particularly right now. But in, just in case it ever comes up that someone else needs to take the controls.
Hey, give me the keys. I'll fly. How hard can it be?
So you make kind of a circling descent over one of these lakes, and there are several. There are just lakes everywhere. I mean, it's kind of like Minnesota. It's, you know, it's just like you can't throw a rock and not hit a lake, practically. And mountains, too, of course. But you are a ways off from the mountains at this point. And in sort of a plain, almost. Well, you are in a plain, but I mean that A-I-N type. Anyway, you kind of make a circling descent down to the lake and eventually Well, I was going to say land on it, but I guess you don't land on water. You
float.
Float. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You eventually touch down on the lake. And
we all float down here.
Able to taxi adjacent to the shore. And you would... Well, I guess you're just going to have to figure out, I mean, tie it off to a tree or something so it doesn't blow off into the middle of the lake so you go swimming, have to go swimming after it. And from the ground here, you can see the smoke off in the distance through the forest. It's quite a pronounced, you know, thick, black, inky column of smoke that's rising up and then kind of mushrooming out. So I suppose
that don't look right.
You'll begin walking in that direction.
Could be the forest. Somebody just burning some tires or something.
Guys, a lot of giant piles of tires 300 miles out into the wilderness.
Well, they've run and rolled them out here. They do it in secret so they don't get fined.
Well, maybe if Bigfoot was bending two trees together, you know how they do, right? But they whipped apart so fast that it started a spark, and that just caught a pine cone on fire. Then before you know it, the whole thing's on fire. It's like I told Jack Cassidy, you gotta watch it with the burning cigarettes.
It's highly unlikely.
It does seem a little far-fetched to me, too, Bart. I gotta agree with you.
Well, only one way to find out, right? Let's go.
Yeah, so you're hiking through the forest, and there's no real, you know, there's no trail or anything, so it's just kind of pushing your way through overgrowth, of which there is not a ton, fortunately, because... It is Alaska, after all, but it is also summer. And the hike is reasonably uneventful. It takes probably about 2 hours, to be honest, just because it's kind of slow going. And you occasionally hear, you know, wildlife noises and things that aren't immediately necessarily identifiable, but nothing super close. But after a couple hours, you begin to, you can actually smell, begin to smell the kind of smoke, and it's kind of unpleasant and acrid and almost acidic. It almost like burns your nose, and you can't even see anything yet, but you must be getting close because you can now smell it. But as soon as you begin to be able to smell it and you continue walking in the direction towards the smoke, everybody make a strength test.
Uh-oh. Okay, here we go. 4, 45 Ooh. Or less.
Ooh. 9.
Ooh, I got a 10. Wow, that's wow. Got a 10. I'm right behind you.
Yeah.
5.
Oh, my goodness.
Damn. It's a sexy roll right there.
Yeah. We're on percentiles, so we're all happy.
Yeah. Well, so you all begin to kind of feel a little disconcerted, a little dizzy, but you all manage to shake it off. And, you then walk just a couple more minutes after this sort of sensation, and you see something. It's going to be hard to describe. It's going to be even harder for your brains to comprehend, but there is what appears to be a metallic, well, what had at one time been a pyramid. A large, approximately, I don't know, Mini Cooper-sized pyramid, partially embedded in the ground and broken apart, and smoke is erupting, and there's some flames and stuff as well, but it's basically on fire, and the smoke is originating from this sort of shattered pyramid.
So is it's like a stone pyramid?
It looks like metal.
Oh, metal. You
like,
said.
Okay. Almost like stainless steel.
All right.
Yeah. I've seen these a couple times from there. I'm not on fire, though. That's new.
What? But you mean you've
seen
these?
And heard things about these pyramids.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I wonder what it could be. We have to...
I don't know. You know, there's lots of speculation, but ain't nobody really know nothing, do they?
Well, I know that pyramids are all over the world, every culture almost, well, not every culture, but lots of cultures built pyramids that we don't know. Maybe there was a forgotten civilization that lived in Alaska that built these.
You know, maybe I'm all for checking it out and whatnot, but, you know, didn't you guys maybe feel kind of funny from the smoke that's coming? I'm a little bit unnerved, I guess is the right word. If we get closer, are we going to have some effects? Are we all standing here getting us some lung cancer right now or brain cancer or... Who knows what the fuck's going on? You know what I'm saying?
This fumes could be hazardous to our health. But we might want to put something over to cover our noses and mouths.
I didn't notice anything. I feel normal.
I can't think he's always just so discombobulated, you know.
Well, he's like... immune to any kind of smoke and inhalation. Yeah. His lungs are coated in some kind of, like, you know, protective thing.
Yeah, maybe we ought to cover up our nose and mouth before we get closer.
Is this thing in such a condition? I mean, it's cracked, you know, and broken. There's, like, smoke billowing out of it. And there's, I don't know if you said flame or not, but is it even remotely plausible to get up close to this thing and pry it apart and look into it? Or
yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's not like you know, engulfed in a raging fire or anything. There's just like occasional wisps of fire. The smoke is pretty intense, and it's clearly smoldering. It's clearly smoldering from inside. But it's not like a big ball of flame. You could totally approach it.
Okay.
Now it's partially embedded in the ground, and one of the corners, I guess you'd say, is broken off, and that is kind of where the smoke is coming out of. But you don't really see any other obvious, you know, entry point or door or whatever, windows or anything like that.
This could be like a mini volcano or something. Or it could be like a chimney to an underground building or something.
Well, I tell you what I do know is most of the stories about pyramids and strange shapes and whatnot, they're usually flying around in the sky. This could be some kind of like alien aircraft or something.
Well, I do know that UFOs are frequently sighted with Bigfoot encounters. They seem to go hand in hand together. I am undecided if Bigfoot is a natural creature or possibly extraterrestrial or interdimensional. I think Bigfoot, the most likely scenario is Bigfoot is a descendant of Gigantopithecus, which is an ape that lived in Asia and may have crossed over the land bridge the same way that humans did to reach North America.
I'm sorry.
Oh, in that case, Alaska would be a good place for him.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a UFO. That's what you're saying. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Maybe so. I mean, I've just heard the stories, and I've even seen them flying around a couple of times. Never can get close to them, you know.
Oh, I saw a UFO once for sure, but I was at a Parliament Funkadelic concert, so I can't really. I gotta. There's some room. There's some wiggle room on that one. I'm not sure. But is this a corner that's broken off that the smoke is it big enough for someone to crawl into or?
Just about big enough to crawl into. I mean, it would be a little bit uncomfortable because of the smoke.
Right.
You know, and you'd have to really. But somebody could climb up there and kind of crawl into it if they were so inclined. Bart might be a little big to do that.
Yeah. I would recommend climbing into that, but maybe we could. I would maybe throw something in it and see what happens. Throw a rock into it.
Are you sure you want to do that? Because last time we were at that wishing well, you threw that panty and it just went right off the rim, buddy.
Well, I think I could aim a big rock into it.
All right, here, take this rock here. I'll pick up a rock and toss it to you.
And you're going to wing it into the broken corner there?
Yeah, I'm going to try.
All right, well, I will just not even make you roll. You just succeed, and it sort of clangs around as though it kind of sounds like, like rock hitting metal and then kind of a soft thud into ash or something.
Okay.
Is there any way to... So, like, does that give me any kind of clue to the depth of this hole?
It seems to mostly be... There does seem to be a reasonably large compartment. Mostly empty within. Sort of like a, you know... It's like a Mini Cooper-sized pyramid, right? And you've basically got the equivalent of the front seats of that car. So, like, you know, however much... Okay. I don't know how many cubic feet that would be, but...
Do we have, like... I didn't specifically mention it, but... Like a fire extinguisher. Maybe I'm sure there's one on the plane.
There would definitely be one on the plane, yes. Definitely. And I thought of the same thing earlier.
That sounds good. Joe, that's what I think we should do, is try to extinguish the flames.
Yeah.
All right. This would be a relatively simple task. It would take you some time to run back to the plane, get it. I am even willing to go so far as to say that you thought of that when you left originally. You don't even have to go back and get it. You brought the damn fire.
Since we were investigating, we were investigating fire. That's a fair assumption.
It makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense. So I think you have brought it with you, and you with very little problem, you were able to, spray the white powder into the compartment of this pyramid and. Very quickly, even the smoldering and smoke just completely stops, and you know, just a matter of a few moments, really. You just spray it, and you seem to be good to go. It's probably still pretty warm in there, but
okay. Well, someone want to go inside? Well, maybe there's another way to open it up.
But I'm gonna. Touch the outside of it, the metal. Is there any reaction at all when I touch it?
No, but it is warm.
It's pretty hot in there, probably. Maybe.
Yeah, we might want to start with just shining a flashlight down in there and kind of seeing what we can see from up here.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's all climb up there and peer down in there together.
All right.
Okay.
All right, well, you kind of awkwardly all manage to climb up atop this thing and shine a light down into it. And the interior is very clearly all, you know, destroyed, mostly by fire. It's all blackened and burnt. But one thing that you do see that is very clear are the shapes of two seats. They look like chairs with these burnt corpses seated at them.
Oh, there's dead aliens.
Oh my god.
It's the Heechee. You guys don't know Fred Pohl? Never mind.
Robinette.
Yeah.
Broadhead, was it?
Broadhead. Robinette Broadhead.
He had the character's name is Joe Smith. I said, you need something better. You know, Robinette Broadhead. Sorry, we're just getting real esoteric for here.
This is not the time for your stories. We are on a major discovery. You gotta take some photographs of this. This is could be proof of alien life, and we gotta.
First you said there's bodies. I mean, could they be human body? Are they obviously inhuman?
No, they're not obviously inhuman. Okay. They, in fact, look very human.
Okay.
Which probably got here some kind of, military experimentation with.
I should say, they look very human, but I should also point out that they're burnt to shit. So, I mean, it's kind of like, a blackened, charred skeleton that looks pretty human, but it's
humanoid.
Are they normal sized, or are they more like Sonny Bono or Paul Williams?
It's kind of hard to tell when they're all seated, but if you wanted to do a quick analysis of approximate height, they do appear taller than normal, or taller than average anyway, which would be unusual for example, like a test pilot in a military setting. They tend to be shorter, or like astronauts tend to be shorter, so they can fit into. But these guys, these folks, look larger than
could be Alphans, the Nordic aliens.
Yeah, they could be the tall blondes. We better. Can we pull them out from up here? Reach down and pull them out.
Yes, you can attempt to do so. And when you attempt to do so, it becomes clear that they have been restrained into these seats by restraints that have then been melded into their being. So you're going to have to, by the fire, obviously. So you're going to have to sort of cut them loose and then drag them out. But you can do that. And when you do... They look like especially after once they're, you basically have them out, both of them, lying on the ground at this point, and probably somebody's arm comes off, you have to hastily stick it back, snaps off while you're trying to pull them out.
Whoops!
But that's
my bad.
But eventually, you have them lying down on the ground, and they appear to be approximately 7 feet tall.
I'm gonna look at their feet. They could be Bigfoot feet.
Can you do like an alien autopsy, Bart?
Well, I did watch.
No, I can't say that because the video hasn't come out yet.
Yes, I can do a post-mortem autopsy.
Yeah, you can.
I'm trained.
Since when do you do post-mortem autopsies on ashy aliens?
Since right now.
Oh, good Lord. You did ask about their feet, though. And their feet are large.
The feet could be big. Big feet. This could be confirmation that Bigfoot is actually an extraterrestrial.
Well, listen, first of all, before you go any further, if I'm going to write this article, I got to know, is it Bigfoots or Big Feet? Because I've been using Bigfoots this whole time.
There's no consensus. It is a source of argument between cryptozoologists. Heated arguments. I've seen fist fights and it's a mess.
I'd like to see one of those cryptozoologists mess with me. I'm friends with Frank Sinatra. No fist fights me. All right. Well, hey, you know, seriously, though, there could be the connection there. You're right. These are pretty big feet. And I was like, taking some pictures of the big feet. Like give me that tape measure, you know, picture of Bart, like, next to the feet, you know, looking awkwardly at the camera, pointing at the tape measure.
Yeah. I have to assume that Bart has and brought, like, you know, one of those little plaster molds of, like, the Bigfoot feet from it. He's, like, comparing it to him, and, you know. And quite comparable. You'd say you'd call it a match.
I keep picturing all these pictures that he's taken, like, later on. And like the closing credits to the movie, they have the montage sequence of all the candid photos, you know, that Bing has taken throughout the trip. And they're like funny shots of, you know, Bart looking confused, walking out of the bathroom, you know, all kinds of funny things. With River flipping off the camera, you know, like this. But,
well, we definitely. It's too bad we can't really get these guys out of here, though. Gonna happen to our proof. You know, photos can be doctored. It's the first thing they're gonna say. It's the first thing I said to you.
We can take one of them. We could take one and have Bart do his postmortem there. And if he's not comfortable with postmortem, I got lots of hunting skills. I mean, I know how to skin and dress a deer and, you know, do all that, so I don't see why it'd be any different here.
Just to be clear, there.
We could take one of them with us.
I was going to say, you're saying that Bart's going to sit in the back seat with the ashy alien.
Yep, that's what I'm saying.
Well, we could fit one, at least one, in the back of the plane. We've got to have the evidence. But
get the one get the one I didn't break the arm off.
Yeah, we've got to document everything.
We got to carry this ashy alien for 2 hours without breaking it.
Well, you begin. I mean, it's going to be a long walk with this guy, but you begin, putting him in a bag or something? I don't know.
Well, I think I have an idea. We can get, like, I've got, like, my little, you know, zipper baggy thing, you know, still on my shoulder, so I'll take out the kimono and
hang on here. You take this big stick here, you put that through this sleeve and down into the pocket, right? Get it in there nice and tight. Okay. Don't worry, we had to do this once, taking Carrie Fisher out of a party at Belushi's house. I want to put basically make a stretcher out of the kimono. Then make it a little bit easier, you know, so we can, me and Bart can each grab an end.
I thought we were doing like a weekend at Bigfoot's or something. Where
well, you're in the middle of constructing the stretcher and telling a story about a party at John Belushi's house, apparently. And before you've even managed to complete it and get this thing on the stretcher, from deeper in the woods, not the direction of the lake where you landed, but deeper into the woods, you hear the most inhuman, skin-curdling scream. I would make a scream that would resemble it, but I don't even think I can. It's this high-pitched, animalistic, yowling, that just sounds so angry. And it sounds...
That doesn't sound good.
Pretty close.
Reckon we ought to just get the fuck out of here, then?
Maybe. This is gonna slow us down, dragging this thing. I'm gonna get out my beer mace.
And, as you're saying that, you hear... thump, 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 thump. Like, coming towards you from... deeper in the woods, where the scream originated from. You begin to... just through the trees, you can see this large, approximately 7 to 8 foot tall shape, shadowy shape, like, tromping towards you through the trees.
It's Wilt Chamberlain! Oh, wait, no.
It's a Bigfoot.
He's angry. I don't know if I can calm him down.
Hey, you thought you were the big Bigfoot expert. I thought you said you could talk to him.
I'm going to start making his grunting language that he thinks he knows.
Tell him I said hi.
And this thing just keeps coming and eventually bursts through the trees, and it is this like 8 foot tall, completely covered in thick matted hair, with giant hands and feet, and just these crazy looking eyes that just glare at you and stare back and forth, and jumping back and forth between each of you, and it sees you and it holds its head back in. Mouths to the sky and just screams again. And, well,
call
I guess
more of them.
I guess we're gonna have to see what happens in the next episode.
I think we need to run.
But I'm not gonna make you roll initiative when there's 2.5 minutes left. So
we're not running anywhere. This is where we came to fly. Bart can calm him down. I got faith in you, Bart.
Yeah, I've got faith in my bear mace.
Meanwhile, River, don't make eye contact.
I've got faith in my 357.
Don't look him in the eye. Hold your head down, It's like Jane Goodall, Just don't be threatening.
I don't know how I'm going to shoot something without looking at it.
You're not going to shoot anything.
I think I'm going to have to shoot it.
You're not going to shoot anything. Just turn
I think mind. I'm going to have to shoot it.
Not yet.
I think I'm going to have to.
No!
All right, there you go. That's good.
Okay.
Hey everybody, if you like our podcast, don't forget to leave us a good rating and or review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Spotify, or wherever you're able. Subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Twitter at Goonies_world, and check out our website at GooniesWorldPodcast.com. Email us at GooniesWorldPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.